Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard Conversations with the Queen, where I am. Because we are all but most of all,
I am gifted. I am all of this. And indeed, the shit.
Peace and love. You are now tuned into the frequency of Conversations with the Queen, where holistic health, music, art, and life converge to create mental stimulation for your listening pleasure.
It's your girl Tay Queen, and you are listening live into Conversations with the Queen. I am so excited to have everybody back on for this week's show. Yay, 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 yay. But before we get into the show, I would like to invite everybody to join in with me with saying this affirmation, as we do weekly affirmations every week on Conversations with the Queen. Okay, so take a deep breath, center ourselves, and let's speak the affirmation into being. I am well-rounded in every aspect. I travel through time, space, and life effortlessly. Ashe. All right, you can find affirmations like that and so many more on facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. All right, everybody. We do have a couple announcements before we get into the show. My first announcement is that we are celebrating Black History Month on Conversations with the Queen. So we have daily posts via our Facebook and Twitter, and that's facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen and Twitter at TayQueen, TAEQUEEN, until February 28th. And every day there will be an update with a Black History hero. And today's, we did a great Nubian warrior queen. It was awesome. I loved writing that one. So we do them daily, so every day will be a new Black History hero. So again, that's on facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen and Twitter at TayQueen. All right. I also want to inform everybody that Gemini Creations is having a 50% off sale, y'all. So go on over to GeminiCreations.newshop.com, and that's G-E-M-I-N-E-Y-E Creations.newshop. That's N-U-W-S-H-O-P.com, and you'll be able to get 50% off of all the inventory with this special coupon code, and that's GG432. So if you need gemstones, gemstone jewelry, anything that we have in stock, it has to go. So again, that's GeminiCreations.newshop.com, 50% off sale. Everything gets to go. All right? And our last but not least announcement is that for Sunday, February 23rd, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Restoration Plaza in Brooklyn, Professor James Smalls and Booker T. Coleman will be lecturing for Hidden History Online. So it's a great lecture. These are legendary people in the Black history field. These are groundbreaking people. They were featured in the documentary Hidden Colors. So it's really, really an amazing event. If you're not able to get out to Brooklyn, we will be posting alternatives for people to watch via live stream very, very soon. But until then, if you need to learn more about this event or want to learn more about this event, go to facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen, everything spelled correctly. Or if you would like to vend at this event, you can email Mel via brooklynmagi@yahoo.com, and that's BROOKLYN, Brooklyn, spelled correctly, magi, MAGI, @yahoo.com. So you can get all the information there. All right, so today's show is going to be Global Heritage, Global Travel, a.k.a. the Ma'at International Launch Party, featuring Derek Rouse. So I'm going to bring our host on the line. Derek, are you on the line with us?
Yes, yes. Peace. How you doing? Peace and blessings, everybody.
Peace. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you. So it's good to be here on your show.
Yeah, I know. Just playing. Yes. So for those who might not be familiar with you, just give them a little bit of background on who you are, what you do, and all that jazz.
Okay. Well, as you said, my name is Derek Rouse. I'm on Facebook as Derek Diaspora Diplomat Rouse. I am a certified travel agent, a city tour guide in the city of Philadelphia, unofficial. I do my own tours. And I'm also a entrepreneur in the travel and hospitality industry. I've been a travel agent for about 2 years or so. So I've done many different types of city tours, as well as promotions for like national type events, as well as international educational tours that I first started in 2010 through my company, in which I am relaunching, Maya International Travel Club, which is under the, in about a couple of weeks will be under the LLC of Maya International Travel Network.
Cool. That's amazing. Congratulations on that decision, and definitely going forward with so much peace, love, and blessing. So for those who are not acquainted exactly with what Ma'at International is, how would you explain it to somebody who has no clue about what you're talking about?
Well, I try to keep it as simple as possible, because, you know, I do have a tendency to over-explain things. But Maya International Travel Club, and more so the overall company of Maya International Travel Network, is basically a company, an organization that is its own independent tourism board, meaning that it's not connected to a government in terms of promoting one individual company. And it's also an educational studies travel club, in which case we promote and organize for educational tours throughout the Pan-African diaspora. So we may do heritage tours to like somewhere like to Ghana or to Ethiopia. We've also done tours to Brazil, which was one of my first tours that I did in 2010. And we also may promote or market certain tours for other people who do their own heritage tours, similar to like the African heritage in Venezuela or the African heritage in Cuba.
Hmm. Okay. Amazing. Sounds awesome. So why did you start Ma'at International?
That's actually a very good question, because the concept of everything that I'm doing actually comes from multiple origins, but I'll probably just stick with the actual, you know, the most recent, which is I actually went to a lecture with my father. I think back in 2010 actually, but I know it was somewhere around 2009, 2010, by Brother Ashwell Quayle. So people that are familiar with him know that he does Kemet New Tours. You know, he does the African heritage tours to Egypt and to Ethiopia every year. Mm-hmm. I went to one of his lectures when I was about, actually, that's a good question. How old was I back then? At least about 20, maybe 19. And he did such a great presentation that it definitely had a really long lasting impact on me in terms of the level of information that he presented, and especially from a visual face type of way. You know, I know you're familiar with him. For the people that's not, he does very excellent visual based lectures from all his tours he's done over the past 20-30 years. So, and it's actually a question my dad had asked me after he presented the information. I believe the lecture was on the African origins of Christianity. So, you know, you can look that up on YouTube or from his website. He asked me, you know, how come since you've been studying being a travel agent and your mom, you know, is a travel agent, how come you haven't thought about doing something like this? And I think when he asked me that, I kind of gave him like a cut and dry type of answer. You know, that's cool and all, but you know, I don't really want to get into all that right now. But I guess over the couple of weeks that he really he had said that, and from that presentation, I actually really thought about that, and I was like, yeah, that's actually a very good question. How come I don't do this? I want to be a travel agent. Is that, you know, being a travel agent actually has been in my family for a while. It actually started with my grandmother, which I actually just found that out probably a couple of years ago. So, like, we actually have a long family history of being travel agents and tour guides in our family. So when he said that, it really did resonate within me to say, you know, why wouldn't I do this? You know, it's something that's actually a new perspective on offering not just vacations to our people, but actual educational tours in a way that they can interact as well as get the knowledge of who they are. So it's not just reading stuff from a book, but also experiencing everything in real time and in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more so the short answer in terms of how I came about this concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Sounds great. That's actually a really amazing way to get started. Actually, I posted the link to Asha Kwesi's website in the chat for anybody who's interested, and as well as in the Facebook event on facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. So you can go over there and find out more information about Asha Kwesi, because I definitely want to big him up. Definitely one of the pioneers in the whole Afrocentric comedic movement. Definitely an amazing brother. All right, so how has your experience been so far with promoting and creating Ma International?
Overall, it's definitely been very a great experience. In terms of, you know, doing tours, I've taken a lot of time off from between 2010 and I guess now, which is like, you know, which I'm like officially relaunching this year, because I had to basically just, you know, I had to step back and understand like the travel industry as a whole. You know, a lot of people that do a lot of things, they don't understand the industry that they may be in. So it's like, you know, different industries and business are a lot different. You know, there's things that you can do as a specialist, you know, something that's based off of your talent. And then other things that you need to actually maybe even go to school or be schooled by an actual professional that can show you the ropes. So more or less between 2011 and between 2013, I just been recertifying myself in becoming a travel agent, learning the ins and outs of the travel industry, how to create program, which is, you know, a lot different because it doesn't necessarily involve, you know, certain things within what they consider the travel industry. So, like, for example, within the travel industry, you know, it's what most people would consider like rental cars and hotels. Vacation homes, the airplane, the Amtrak, and all that other stuff. But in terms of actually creating a cultural tourism program and trying to, you know, weave it into the travel industry, that's dealing with things, especially dealing with African American history and just overall African history or Moorish history in general. That can be something like a cultural organization. So, like, you know, the many different Ethiopian organizations or many different Ghana organizations or Caribbean organizations. One of the ones that one of the partners that I'm actually reaching out to right now that I met during several travel shows is the Caribbean Tourism Organization. So they deal with promotion to the Caribbean and all the different island nations of that region. So I've been, you know, for like the last 2 years, I've just been studying hard, you know, getting sort of like an independent tourism and hospitality degree, you know, on my own accord, making a lot of business connections, you know, being recertified in certain things. And of course, going to, like I mentioned, going to travel and trade shows, you know, following up with different embassies and how I can actually work with them. One major event that I've gone to within the last couple of years has been the ATA forums. So if anybody, you know, ATA stands for the Africa Travel Association. I'm actually a student delegate for the Africa Travel Association. So being able to link up with that powerful organization and many different organizations of this kind has kind of been like my, you know, my spiritual and personal growth within this industry, and then trying and using that to shape a cultural tourism program that is right for my company and my organization, and as well as a way to present it to the overall population that we can use as a people.
Definitely. Amazing. So that sounds like a great experience, and it sounds like you've really taken a lot of time to make sure that you become an expert in what you're doing, which is awesome. So what has been your favorite event that you've hosted or program that you've done so far?
Well, for the most part, other than like my own travels, you know, that I've done, you know, because you know, going back and forth between New York and D.C., and then even before then, going overseas or certain places to, like, to meet up with people, I would say a lot of stuff that I've done, you know, that's like, you know, my favorite stuff, I would probably say it's been really in my own city, from Philadelphia. So one of my first events that I did was a launch event for the, if you heard of the DVD for people out there, it's called Ancestral Voices, Esoteric African Knowledge. I was actually one of the first people under Maya International in terms of my official, one of my official events that I did back in 2011, I believe. We actually brought that DVD screening to the Americas for their first, you know, American tour. So it was about, it was about 100 people that end up showing up. A lot of people love the information. You know, it's definitely an excellent documentary if you can get your hands on it. The producers out of the UK, they filmed it all in, mostly in the UK. Well, I'm sorry, they filmed it mostly in Ghana, and they also did some of the things in the UK. So that event in of itself, we actually were able to do a Skype interview. And since the producers were from the UK, we were about, I believe we were about 6 hours ahead. I mean, they were about 6 hours ahead. So, you know, the screening that showed at like 9 or 10 o'clock, you know, they're staying up to like 5, 6 in the morning, you know, trying to do a post documentary interview. You know, it definitely was a, you know, it was an excellent experience for everybody who was there. You know, especially since it was, you know, one of my first events that I ever did as a, you know, sort of like a, you know, playing around as an event producer. So, so I definitely remember that very vividly because that was like my first actual event. And then just other events have just been going to other people that have supported me. So like going to different carnival type of events. You know, so, you know, definitely shout out to the Philadelphia Caribbean Carnival that finally came back last year. Going to like the Labor Day, yeah, the Labor Day Caribbean Carnival.
I was there.
Yeah. Yeah, you had a good time. You can tell them about it, though.
It was fun. I had a good time. Good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, definitely a lot of my favorite events have been, you know, different festivals, different Caribbean carnivals, and just overall, mostly just being able to link up with different people from different backgrounds. So, you know, that's kind of like the model for Maya International Travel Club. and just us as an overall organization is to be able to link up with our people within the diaspora that are already here. You know, it doesn't, we don't necessarily have to go to Africa just to link up with a lot of these people, but you know, because they're already here, we might as well link up with them here, and then whatever can be developed from that, that's when we can, you know, do some international stuff.
Exactly. Definitely well said. Well said. So I think you kind of already answered a little bit of this question, but I'll just ask it anyway. Why did you decide to become a travel agent?
I did kind of touch on that, but I have another perspective from it. As I said, my family, like my mom, she's been in corporate travel for about 20 years, but she mostly specialized in cruises. So from that, you know, I had basically, you know, I did most of my traveling from about age 7 to about 21 or so. You know, I've been to about 25, no, I'm sorry, not 25, about 12 different countries. I'm aiming for 25 this year, so. But I've been to about 12 different countries, you know, mostly when I was younger. And, of course, like my when I found out, like, a couple years ago, my grandmother was a tour guide. She actually has been to, like, Brazil. She's been to a couple places in Africa. And I think she's actually been to
Grandma.
A couple places in, yeah. Yeah, shout out to Grandma. She is the matriarch in terms of what I'm doing. So, but another thing was just learning about the overall travel industry, and as well as when I read the book. When I read the book Blueprint for Black Power by Dr. Amos Wilson. You know, he has a chapter on the travel and hospitality industry. I think it's chapter 9, I believe, where he actually breaks down, you know, African American tourism in terms of, you know, how we, you know, our habits in traveling in terms of going to conferences and meeting planning and all the other stuff. So between reading a lot of stuff like that and just a lot of stuff that was in my family, and also finding out about the travel industry through another means, which was through the direct sales industry, in terms of how they use traveling to help empower people and being able to get discounts around the world and helping people to become their own travel agents. It's basically, you know, that was like my basic foundation for what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, sounds fun. So, what's your favorite thing about being a travel agent?
Oh, I mean, the fact that I can travel for pennies on a dollar and, you know, save money, be able to get, you know, tax discounts, and I mean tax breaks to this business, you know, that's basically the standard answer.
So what you're saying is you're in it for the money.
That's the standard answer. yeah, I know. But I would say from my perspective in terms of, you know, how we want to use a lot of this conscious information that we have is being able to program it into a actual curriculum and being able to use it as a way to empower people is, I would say that's the real answer, like stuff that I really want to do in terms of, you know, why I want to do this as a career. So, because I've actually been through a lot of different travel programs when I was like in like high school, like between 10th grade and senior year in high school. I'm a member of the people to people student ambassadors and sports ambassadors. So I was able to go to France and I was able to go to England, and as a sports ambassador, I was able to go to the Netherlands. So that was basically all about, you know, representing the USA on a global level. I've done a lot of different national programs, like the LEAD program in business, where I actually went to the University of Minnesota and I met people from different parts of the country. So the main thing that I took from all those experiences is that even though they were great experiences, they definitely shaped my worldview, especially meeting, you know, many different people from across the world or from, you know, the United States, you know, especially places you never even heard of, you know, or even known that black people even existed at in the United States, you know. Shout out to, you know, Fargo, North Dakota and all that, you know. But it was just using that information and using that perspective to understand that there really are very few African-American or African-centered program, travel programs that are out there. There are definitely a few, because I'm definitely I'm going after their partnership for this year. But there are, you know, a very few. And by the time I was traveling when I was younger, you know, I never even known about them. So even though these were great programs and great experiences and me being able to travel the world, I still didn't understand who I was as a, you know, as an African-American or as a, you know, person of African descent or a person of Morris descent. So a lot of these different programs, they cater to like white people or anything like that. I mean, they do, but they cater to the people who have the money. And the fact of the matter is that when it comes to student traveling, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people from Europe and a lot of people, increasingly a lot of people from America of European descent are starting to travel more, especially when it comes to, like, student abroad. I actually saw a statistic, I think the other day, that said about 11% of people of African-American descent, I think they have ever participated in a student abroad. So if you think about how many people are across these different campuses in the United States, and especially in the HBCUs, have actually ever been overseas or even have a passport, you know, that's actually very alarming. And the fact that I'm coming from a perspective and saying that I got my first passport when I was 7, you know, that's a very, you know, that's a very alarming statistic in terms of getting people and understanding people why they travel or why they don't travel, and then saying that from the perspective of saying that how many people have actually been to, you know, any country in Africa, or I mean, how many people, you know, how many people actually still think that Africa is a country? You know, I really hate that, but, you know, we got to understand, you know, the level of ignorance, you know, from just people not traveling or not understanding geography and what they're teaching in these schools, you know, today, that, you know, it's not their fault, but there is something that we have to do about it. So just getting back to what you said about...
And there is Google Maps, so it is your fault.
Yeah, you got that. Yeah, it is your fault. But getting back to what you said, I would say that that's my real answer in terms of why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Definitely. Amazing. So what type of people do you feel that would be, like, really good at being travel agents? Because I know MA International is opening up its doors to welcome other people. So what are the qualifications? What do you think are some good prerequisites to have in order to becoming a travel agent?
I would say, well, at least from our organization's perspective, is that because I do want to make it more of a more or less an exclusive program, but at the same time have an inclusive feel. I would say that you have to be at least into any type of African American knowledge or Africana studies program. You know, that's a prerequisite. It's not something that's, you know, that's like fully solidified, because I'm still playing around with actual qualifications. But I would say, you know, people like that, you know, our target demographic is, you know, basically people like that, people who are already in the travel and hospitality industry. So, like, if you're, you know, like you work at a hotel, if you're like a tour guide, especially people who have different types of African-centered type of tour guide companies. People who own, like, retreat centers or wellness centers, people who are just, like, in a different auxiliary positions of the your travel industry. So, you're like, you know, you got your travel guide writers, you have your guest lecturers or speakers, you know, people who have traveled the world from that. You have people who are, like, in the entertainment industry that, you know, have been all around the world to perform, or, you know, at least want to go around, you know, to different countries to perform, or, you know, people who have arts and want to do that. So we want to be able to link up with all these types of people, especially within our own city, to to be able to promote them on a national and international platform, because with our arts marketing platform that we are creating, it's going to give people a chance that, you know, like a film creators and artists and musicians and people like that, or restaurant owners and people like that, to be part of our cultural tourism business network. So they can, you know, basically market what they're doing in their city, and then market it as like a city guide type of thing. So when you go on like these different websites that are based off of traveling, you want to find out, you go to the website, like say, like if I want to go to Boston and I want to figure out what's going on, or, you know, what are the historical sites, or, you know, what are the things to see, you go on a specific specific website, or you just do a Google search. But usually a specific website has like everything that you need to go through. The problem is with a lot of those things is that those things are their own individual networks. So it's like, it's not so much going to that one specific restaurant is the hottest restaurant in town because, you know, it has the best food, or it has even authentic food, you know. But it's mostly because they had the marketing power to be on somebody else's network to promote them as like the, you know, the top level restaurant, of all the city or all the state. So what we're saying is that these different people.
So sometimes
some
places be expensive. Take it from me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Booby nasty.
Tourism. So what we're saying is that because we focus more on culture, along with traveling, you know, cultural tourism, educational tourism, we want to be able to link up with these different places that are like, you know, like the little places that you may not see, you know, basically off the beating path type of places, you know, places you don't normally see if you go into like, I'm not sure what they would call it in, different cities, but like in Philadelphia, you know, it's called Center City. So most people come into Center City, or people come into the airport region and whatever, and they just, you know, they just, they basically just eat at the hotels, or they just, you know, go a little bit outside of their area.
The downtown areas.
Or the downtown areas or whatever. And a lot of that is already controlled by a certain network of, you know, what they call, the tourism industry. So what we want to do is take everything that's left, which is a lot of the cultural aspects, especially dealing with our own culture, and basically put it on a national and international platform. So if you have black people, or, you know, people that just are, you know, into African, basically just African stuff, you know, in general, that may not be of African descent, be able to tell them that, you know, well, instead of just coming into Center City, you know, you can go into West Philly and you can see all the different types of Ethiopian restaurants, or Eritrean restaurants, or, you know, you can see a Caribbean show here, or you can go to an African American jam session, you know, based off like, you know, R&B or soul music. You know, Philadelphia is very big on, especially R&B, soul, and jazz.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of like our,
oh my God,
our heritage.
So amazing, you guys. So amazing. Like, everybody can sing.
Yeah, there's a lot of undiscovered talent here. You know, we actually we say, you know, in Philly that you go to New York to become famous, but you come to Philly to become good. So that's kind of like a thing that we have here, because it's just so much raw, undeveloped talent. So, like I said, being able to take all those people and kind of make them like our cultural ambassadors, so to speak, you know, based off of their heritage, or based off of what they can bring to the table to our organization, is like how we want to be able to use all those different types of people, you know, from their, you know, from their specialty, to kind of, you know, kind of market what we're doing as a travel club and as a organization in general.
Definitely. All right. Well, we past the halfway mark for the show. We have 25 minutes left on the live stream, so I will be coming back and inviting people to call in with your questions and comments. The call number is 917-932-8881, and you can call in and raise your hand by pressing 1. That way I'll know you're on the queue and ready to talk. Again, that call number is 917-932-8881. We're going to pause for a quick commercial break and slash music break as well. And then once we play the commercials and the music, you will be able to speak, all right? So we'll be right back after this.
Are you looking for a place to sell your products online? Not interested in hiring expensive web developers? Do you love to buy cultural and ethnic products directly from manufacturers? Well, look no further. NewShop.com is the number one online marketplace to buy and sell multicultural and ethnic products. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Get your free e-store, post your products to sell, and make money. Sell books, clothing and apparel, jewelry, bath products, beauty products, health products, accessories, holistic products, even e-books and downloadable music files. The list goes on. No sign-up fees, no contracts, no annoying product listing fees or confusing HTML coding. It's quick, easy, customizable. Go to NewShop.com for your 9-day free trial today. NewShop.com, the number one online marketplace for multicultural and ethnic products. That's www.nuwshop. All payments and transactions on NewShop.com are securely processed through PayPal.
Peace. This is City Hampton of the HSDO Lord Mission. Utilize the ancient universal powers of nature. For ages, gemstones have been an integral part of holistic healing. With their unique molecular structures, they possess the ability to emit healing energies that tune the mind, body, and spirit. Gemstone therapy is a subtle and effective way to help introduce new and positive energies into your life. Gemini Creations, Gemstone Consultations, are unique and an effective way to calculate the best gemstones for you based on your personal life experiences and astrological information. These consultations help to provide you with a comprehensive understanding of the gemstones that work best for your energy. With your gemstone consultation, you will receive a gemstone consultation report comprising of a list of recommended gemstones.
Fun. Comp, I don't see none. This year we're where we from. Kick drum, subs turn, nah bro, Lavelle, yeah, me no. On the mic, I'm no joke, my soul fly, my coat float, no lies spoke on this tier. Proceed with no fear, still got sharp in the basement, now we up here, top tier.
Sponsors, and that was Legend Camp Champion Sound. We're going to start playing a lot more independent music here on Conversations with the Queen. So, and we also will be giving them features on the relaunch of the Conversations with the Queen blog. So if you're an independent artist and you have any tracks, please send them to TaeQueen, TaeQueen, @hotmail.com. And if you are looking for some good advertisement airtime, definitely hit us up as well. That is the same email address at TaeQueen, TaeQueen, @hotmail.com. All right, we're back discussing global heritage, global travel with Derek Rouse. He's back on the line live. Derek, you are back with us. And we have 18 minutes left on the live stream, so I do want to start taking calls, but we will have recorded time after that. I will let everybody know when we get into the archive time. We have quite a few callers with their hand raised, so I definitely want to get to them, if that's cool with you, Derek.
Yeah, actually, if I may, just for a minute, make a special request real quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to, because I know I saw her hand up in the live stream, and I wasn't sure. She said she wasn't going to be able to stay much. So if I can get the director, who's actually the one of the sponsors from our sponsor travel agency from Paycations Travel, Chinanza Dusan, if she can just come on the line for about 5 minutes, you know, even if I got to cut my interview short, I definitely want to bring her on the line to kind of explain how she's, like, cooperating.
Cool. The only thing is she has to call in with her hand raised, so I don't know who she is right
now. Yeah,
it's
404 number.
Okay, she's actually the first person with her hand raised, so that worked out perfectly.
Okay.
All right, so first caller from the 404 area code, you're live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions? And of course you do, because we already know who you are, but I just say that all the time, by default.
I am truly honored and privileged. You know, I partnered with Derek almost 2 years ago in the travel industry, and truly this young man's experiences and his passion for travel, especially on the continent of Africa, has just been amazing to watch him develop and grow and really empower people all around our industry of staycation travel. And so, you know, I'm here just to kind of break open the ice to let you know that, of course, the opportunity is there for those people who are saying, wow, you know, I love Africa, or I love Brazil, or I love South America. Whatever it is that you're passionate about, staycation travel has been a very solid opportunity that has afforded people like Derek and, of course, over 6,000 people in the last 120 days an opportunity to really get out there and see this beautiful world. You know, Paycation Travel is a host company. We are headquartered in Dallas, Texas. We're about 12 years old. And, of course, we've been around the block in terms of the travel industry. But what I love about our business model is that we are affording an opportunity for everyday people to make above-average income, but more importantly, see the world of travel on their terms. And so if you're like Derek and you want to specialize in a particular area, we have people who come in who do get focused in African studies, or people who come in and they they just want to do weddings and bridal things, and the people who just love travel. And so at any every whim, they do want to travel for pennies on the dollar. Our business model affords people to do that, and I know that Derek is opening the door for other people to partner with him in this industry. And I'm telling people right now, this is a powerful business model. You know, I actually fell in travel about 3 years ago, and it was by accident. I got laid off from corporate America. I was looking for the next job, and, you know, something within me said there's no way I could go back to a job. And a friend of mine on Facebook actually inboxed me, kind of like how I met Derek, and said, listen, you really should take a look at the travel industry. I promise you, it not only can set you free, but it can really expose you to the world as a whole. And I'm going to tell you, I've been involved for 3 years, and well over $8,000 a month in residual income, amazing travel perks and discounts, and being able to see the world, and of course, write my entire lifestyle, as Derek said earlier, off of my taxes, all through a business model in travel, the direct selling piece, which is powerful, because again, people are going to travel anyways. Why not get paid for it? Why not make money for it? And if the only investment that you make is $79 to own your piece of this industry, to be able to do things and expose people like Derek is, and of course being able to maintain your business on a monthly basis for a small monthly fee, I love it, because that's our business model. We're helping people live on purpose. And just to think, Derek's going to be able to do this for the rest of his life. Why not lock arms? Why not partner with him? And why not find and carve out your own niche in our amazing world of travel? We're getting ready to open up Jamaica, and I was telling Derek earlier today, we just opened up in Uganda through just international expansion and, of course, the power of relationships. And so travel is not one-sided. It's not limited to the United States, but it is an $8 trillion industry, and the opportunity is here. So for those of you who not only just have a passion for our industry but definitely want to find out how to monetize it, I would highly recommend that you knock on Derek's door, that you touch and tap and agree with him to be able to expose people and get our people out here in this beautiful world. Derek, back to you. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Chinada. I definitely wanted to make sure you got in, because you've definitely been a major inspiration to a lot of stuff that I'm doing. So, you know, I thank you for your kind words.
All right. And she's off. And we thank you for calling in. We do have another caller with their hand raised. We have a caller from the 661 area code. Caller from the 661 area code. You're live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions? Caller from the 661
Hello?
Area code. Yes. Please,
Hello?
You're live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Hi. I'm calling from Mexico, so I have no idea what number is appearing. But I'm calling from Oaxaca, Mexico, and I'm calling in because I am involved in encouraging African Americans to both study abroad and travel abroad. And there's a Facebook group called Black Americans Living Abroad. And I'm here in Oaxaca, Mexico, working with Afro-Mexican communities. And I find that a lot of people don't know about the diaspora in Latin America. And there are about over 24 Afro-Mexican communities in Oaxaca, Mexico, and they're mostly living in the coast. And I just got back from a village in Chicawa National Reserve, which is a protected environmental area. And there's an Afro-Mexican movement going on in Oaxaca where they're trying to fight for civil rights and recognition from the government. So it's a really important time for the Afro-Mexicans, because they currently aren't recognized by their government, and they're trying to organize one another and have collectives and have groups to be on the Mexican census and to have their rights and have official recognition. So I had shared a lot of what I do with the Black Americans Living Abroad Facebook group, and a number have expressed interest in working with these communities. And I felt like there are a lot of African Americans that like to explore their own roots, and I think it's a really important opportunity because when I go to the communities, they're really surprised that people would be interested in them. And when I just came back from my meeting today with the communities, you wouldn't believe that they have no point of reference of where they came from. There's an activist who is trying to mobilize the community in Chikawa, and she asked them, do you know where you come from? And no one knew where they came from. And they said they've heard stories about slave ships crashing in Oaxaca, and they, you know, escaped into the mountains, or they escaped into these areas and from maroon colonies, but they feel like it's just a story. They have no idea. They have no point of reference. And some of them are ashamed to be called Black because it's they're discriminated in Mexico, and it's something that's negative. It's something that people will say, oh, you Black person, to put them down. And so I feel like it's a really it's a good opportunity for African Americans who haven't experienced the civil rights movement, and, you know, my generation wasn't around, to see what's going on here in Mexico as far as people trying to organize and try to fight for their rights, as well as it's a good opportunity for the older generation of African Americans that have, you know, experienced leaders in the civil rights movement and have been involved in the civil rights movement to come to Mexico and learn about how they can help. I'm just really amazed about, like, how people are coming together and forming ways that they can, you know, become self-sufficient. For instance, there's a group of women who are that are harvesting salt, and they're trying to make salt, aromatic salt that's good for massages, and selling it in cosmetic stores, or growing hibiscus to, you know, make agua de Jamaica, which a lot of people around the diaspora drink in Jamaica, it's soto. So I think it's super interesting for me because I think it's like an important period of time where, you know, there are people who are fighting for their rights, and also it's like a way for people to share about our history. And, you know, they're so inspired when you say, hey, I'm from the United States and I come here because I want to learn about you, and we're brothers. And they have a sense of a family, but they don't know where they came from. So I just encourage people to travel to Latin America, travel to Mexico, and be a part of these civil rights movements that are happening all around Latin America.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. It's really amazing and interesting.
Yeah, just real quick, cause I just wanted to do a follow-up with her. Actually, I just realized who called. That was Sister Nicole. So definitely shout-out to her, you know, doing a lot of great things in Mexico and also in California. So, yeah, I mean, definitely what she touched on, and definitely what Chinaza touched on, is basically combining those two aspects in terms of the tribal industry and specializing more or less in a individual culture. So as opposed to becoming just wanting to become a travel agent, you know, just for the sake of traveling, or just getting the, like you mentioned, just getting the tax break, is adding the triple bottom line in terms of dealing with the social and cultural aspects. So it's saying that become a travel agent. Don't specialize in Mexico, but become a travel agent through our organization, our cultural tourism program, to specialize in the Afro-Mexican heritage, you know, the Olmec Maya heritage, you know, Chiamaru heritage, you know, that's in Mexico, because these are all of our people, you know, in one time period or another, these are all of our people that are linked up to us through our DNA and also through our cultural expression.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you both for explaining that and getting into that. A little known fact about history, but it's very true. There is an Afro-Mexican community, and they do exist, so apparently they need, you know, more attention, and they also need more people to actually care about their cause. So definitely check out all the information the sisters said, and as well as, you know, follow the instructions, follow your heart, and, you know, definitely send positive energy their way towards their movement as well. We only have 5 minutes left on the live stream. I want to thank you for calling in, but I do want to keep you on the line really quickly. I just want to give out this information. We have 5 minutes left on the live stream, and I would like to invite everybody who is listening through the live stream to call in now. The call number is 917-932-8881. That way you'll be able to continue listening to the program because we're not finished. We do have a couple callers left, and we do have a little bit of more information to get through with Brother Derek. So, again, the call number is 917-932-8881. So let's call in now before it's too late, because after the 10 o'clock mark, you will not be able to call in. So, again, call in. All right. I just wanted to ask you to give out any of the information that you that people who are interested in getting involved in the movement would need to actually be able to do so.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was like a little bit of an echo on the phone. Can you repeat that, please?
I wasn't talking to you. I was actually talking to sister who called in. I wanted her to give out some information as pertaining to people who wanted to get involved in that movement or involved in helping. So if she had any information that we could look up or any way that we could get contact and involved.
Sure. So I'm here in Oaxaca, Mexico, and there are a number of ways that you can get involved. There are several Afro-Mexican organizations that are spearheading the civil rights movement. One's called Africa, and you can Google them. You put in Africa, A-C, and they have a blog. There's one called Sokpinda. And also, if you're on the Facebook invite for this conversation, I will post my email as well as some of these Afro-Mexican organization blogs. And yeah, so that you can get involved in the movement. But yeah, definitely there are a lot of people needed, and they really are encouraged when they see people that are interested in them.
Yes. Okay. Well, we'll take those links and we'll post them up on facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen so anybody who is interested can get a hold of those links. And thank you so much for calling up and sharing that information with us. Peace.
Thank you.
All right, we have another caller from the 404 area code. Caller from the 404 area code, you're live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Good evening. My name is Oli Matatala. I'm actually invited by Derek to be a part of the show.
Yes, to have you here, Oli Matatala.
Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I didn't get a chance to hear the whole show, but I want to chime in, just piggy off where the sister representing the whole discussion around Afro-Mexican movement and the fighting for justice and their civil rights. I was at an event yesterday at the African Poetry Theater I'm new to New York, in Queens.
In Queens, yes.
In Queens.
The African Poetry Theater, yes.
Yeah, and it was a tribute to John Watanabe Branch, who was one of the elders of the community that transitioned during Kwanzaa. But he was also a member of the Roots Homecoming Festival Committee and had been a part of the committee since 1996. And condolences to him and his family. And one of the speakers at the event actually represents the Afro-Latina history and culture and is the former chair of the African Diaspora Task Team at one of the City College, CUNY, here in New York. Her name is Dr. Georgina Falu. So I would love to give you her information, sister, so that you all could be able to forge that link, because she's doing a lot of dynamic work and bridging the gap between Africa, Latinos in the United States, and Latinos in the diaspora, and just trying to build that connection between the Afro-Latino community and Africa. And I think one of the things that we're doing with the Roots Homecoming Festival, and again, my name is Oli Matatau, my father is one of the co-founders of the festival in 1996. I've been taking my people to the Gambia since I was 17 years old. In 1994, I took 15 high school students between the ages of 13, and it was about 17, 18. And we went for 2 weeks to Senegal and Gambia. And it continued. In 1997, I took 5 Spelman, 5 Morehouse students, and I developed my own rites of passage. This would be, actually, 95. Before the first Wu-Tang Lemon Festival, I took those students to the Gambia where I would do exchange programs with them. I would do rites of passage. We would do community service projects. We would do, of course, the basic tours and excursions and getting to know the culture, et cetera. But when the Wu-Tang Lemon Festival started, under the leadership of the president of the Gambia and the Ministry of Tourism, there was a different theme around it. It was a theme around healing from the transatlantic slave trade and healing from the ramifications and the impact.
Sorry about that. Transition over to the actual archive call.
The healing around the transatlantic slave trade and the psychological, spiritual, mental, physical impact that it's had on our people, on African people all over the world. And when I say African people, I'm putting all of us in one lump right now. I'm talking about Africans in the Caribbean. I'm talking about Africans in Asia. I'm talking about Africans in Latin America. I'm talking about Africans in the United States of America. I'm talking about, and I'm not talking about Africans born on the continent. I'm talking about people of African descent, whether they are Asian-looking, whether they're Caribbean-looking, it doesn't matter. You have a connection through your DNA. You have a connection in your soul. You have a connection in your history. That is your connection. So we're talking about this healing from this over 400 years of slavery, and that's a lot. That's a lot that we have to heal from as a people. When you look at some of the issues that we have in our community, whether you talk about drugs, whether you talk about alcoholism, whether you talk about self-esteem issues, the violence, the poverty, et cetera, a lot of that has to do with the fact that many of us have not healed. And when we begin to really heal as a community, we'll begin to solve a lot of the problems in our own community, because we will realize as a community throughout the world, we are rich as a people. Financially, we are rich. Spiritually, we are rich. Culturally, we are rich. When it comes to talent, we are rich. Historically, we are rich. You know, so we just have to tap into our greatness, tap into our powers, and begin to do a lot of this healing, you know. And so for us, that's what the Roots Homecoming Festival represents. It represents connecting and building a bridge between the African continent and the diaspora. It's being able to reconnect and heal from all that torment that we've had. And, of course, it's not going to happen right away, but it's like an initiation process. It's a beginning. It's like a planting of the seed. So when you take this trip to Gambia or Senegal or whichever package you individuals choose, some people may go through Casablanca. Some people may go through Europe. Some people may go through the United States. Whichever route, when you finally reconnect to the land of your ancestors, the land where our people were stripped away forcefully, a land where many of us for generations and generations, many of our forefathers, yearned to return to this land. When you get to this land, you connect and you touch the soil and you see the people and you see the connection and you relate to these people and you see them in the light and the vibe of them being your sisters and brothers, and they receive you in that same light as individuals who are receiving their sisters and brothers who were long taken away from them for generations and generations. There's a healing and there's something beautiful. There's a connection that comes out of that. And so that's what we're trying to do. From May 9th to May 17th, we want sisters and brothers from all around the world to come join us in the Gambia and reconnect. Now, there are different things that are going to be going on. Of course, we'll go to the village of Jufure, home of Alex Kelly's and Kunta Kinte from The Roots. I'm sure many people are familiar with the series Roots. I mean, mostly during the year, they play it on TV for the whole world to catch a glimpse, especially during Black History Month. But, you know, the story of Kunta Kinte, who was stolen from the Gambia and brought to the United States, and just the from generation to generation, what that family had to go through. Well, that family is actually from Gambia. And till this day, their lineages of that family and remnants of that family in the Jivaray village. So we'll be able to go back to that village. You'll be able to meet members of Kunta Kinte's family. You'll be able to go to the museum that's there on the Jivaray Island. There'll be different traditional ceremonies and all types of celebrations and different festive experiences going on. There's also James Island, which is not far by boat. By boat is maybe like 10 minutes by boat. We will go to James Island. And James Island is kind of like Goree Island, where you have the Duel of No Return. And that's where sisters and brothers, that's where we were kept before they took us onto these slave ships onto different parts of the world, whether it be Latin America, whether it be Europe, whether it be the Americas, wherever. So, and that in itself is very spiritual to be there. I know my first time there, it was just, I can't explain it. It was the connection with my people and what they went through. Even though I wasn't there, I could feel it. And tears rushed down my eyes for hours. Words can't really explain that experience, but it's an experience that we all have to be a part of. It's like, you know, having a grandmother or a grandfather and never knowing them. And so the only real connection you may have is maybe going to the cemetery and going to their gravesite. So for me, that is what these slave dungeons are like. It's like a connection to our ancestral spirits. It's like a connection to that healing. It's like a honoring. And so we have to do that. We have to honor those spirits. We have to honor those sisters and brothers that we lost during the Ma'afa, during the Middle Passage. We have to be able to pray for them and pray for ourselves. So that's what that connection does. In addition to that, of course, there'll be, you know, exchanges between the people of the Gambia, learning what the culture is like, being able to experience market life, being able to see how the people live, how they eat some of the foods, tasting some of these foods, dancing to some of the music. So connecting on a more cultural level, on a today level of who the people, who are these people of the Gambia? You know, who are they like now? What are the languages that they speak? You know, we speak Wolof, we speak Mandinka, we speak Jola, we speak Fulani, we speak Sarahule, we speak Sere. You know, what are some of the dances that we dance? You know, what are our drummings like? What are our songs like? You know, how do we pray? You know, those that are Christian, how do they pray? And we're Muslim. How is that these people in Gambia live peacefully together as Muslims and Christians, where parts of Africa maybe they may fight? You know, so, what types of foods do they eat? You know, we have jollof rice, we have bencha, we have domada. So you'll be able to taste a lot of these different cuisines. You know, you'll be able to meet some of our local celebrities, you know, our singers, our dancers, our artists, you know, our movie stars, our filmmakers, our poets. You know, we have a thriving music industry down there. The young people are doing their thing. I took a group of musicians in 1999. I formed a company called St. Jigan's Productions. And through the Roots Festival, I was throwing parties to take people to Gambia for free. And we decided to take the boys because we didn't make enough money, enough for just one ticket, and they had a whole bunch of discounted tickets. So we took this Motown recording group called the Boys. They were platinum recording artists during their time, like ABC and New Edition back in the day. And we were supposed to just stay for 3 weeks, and let me tell you what happened. I stayed for 6 months. They stayed for 3 years, three whole years. And now they've been living there for 10 years. Two of them married Gambian women. They work with some of the biggest musicians in West Africa, like Yusuf Ndour, Vivian Ndour. You know, they built a home for themselves. They go back and forth to the United States and Africa, building bridges, but in a real way, not just in a trip, but they actually live there. They are about what Marcus Garvey talks about when he said repatriation to Africa, moving back to Africa, being a part of your roots. You know, so you'll be able to experience some of these things. Also, there are investment forums. You'll notice that Gambia is a warm and a tropical place, and there are people from Europe, all over the world, come to vacation there. Some people want to retire. Where do you want to go when you live old? Do you want to continue to stay in the United States? A lot of people move abroad, whether it's the Caribbean, et cetera. Why not move back to Africa? So there'll be investment forums for you to talk about, well, you know, if I do want to move to Africa, what does it mean to buy land? What does it mean to build my own house? What does it mean to start my own business? You know, are there bank loans? Are there any opportunities? Are there any grants? You know, so these are things that can be discussed during those types of things. There's a Pan-African forum where we talk about the revolutionary ideas of our movement as a people, because like we talk about, we've had to fight against slavery, we've had to fight to read, we've had to fight to worship and believe in our own God, we've had to fight ourselves out of poverty and against racism and classism and sexism and patriarchy. We've had to fight so long. So we have to have these discussions because we still have to fight now. So we have these discussions around Pan-Africanism, et cetera. You know, it's because we need to continue to make our people understand that we are still on a certain level historically, and we still haven't won our complete justice. We still, Africa is still not free. Africa is still suffering from the chains of neocolonialism and colonialism. You know, black people and African people all over the diaspora are still suffering from poverty and miseducation and the prison industrial complex. So we still have to organize as a people and talk about these issues. Another thing that will be going on is at the president's village.
Okay, please, before you continue, I just want to let you know that we don't have a whole bunch of time left. So I just want, not to interrupt you, I just want to let you know we do have another caller who's left on the line, and I want you to be able to fully hit every point that you need to hit. So just want to remind you of the time. Thank you.
Okay, how much time I got? A minute, two?
You have, like, about 3 minutes left.
Okay, good. Wonderful. That's enough. I was actually getting ready to round it off. At the president's village, we have a Rites of Passage program, and the Rites of Passage program is pretty much it's reclaiming your womanhood, reclaiming your manhood, understanding some of the cultural norms, some of the secrets, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a man. They say one of the problems in our community, why our children are the way that they are, is because we don't have that rites of passage in our communities like we should. You know, and so individuals will be able to participate in a rites of passage program at the President's Village, where once you go through it, you receive a new name. Many of you also will receive Gambian honorary citizenship and get a Gambian passport. So that's a great thing. There'll be African gala dinners. Again, that's what I was telling you. You'll be able to taste the cuisine, taste our foods, et cetera. There's going to be a traditional boat race where you'll be able to see some traditional sports that we have in Gambia. So all of this is going to be going on from the 9th to the 17th. And, of course, Derek has a package. I have a package if you're interested in calling me and going through some of the stuff that I've been talking about. You can call me at 404-425-0518. Again, that number is 404-425-0518. Of course, like I said, my travels has a lot of great things going on. I'm sure they're going to be doing giveaways and all sorts of other different things. But we're a team. It's a collective of individuals throughout the United States, throughout the Caribbean, in Europe, and in Africa that are working collectively to make sure that hundreds and hundreds of hundreds of Africans from the diaspora are in the Gambia in May so that we can all heal and unite and build these bridges between Africa and the diaspora. I'm done.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for sharing all of that wonderful information with all of our listeners. And you hit on a lot of powerful topics, so thank you. Derek, anything you want to say?
Yeah, well, actually, more or less, everything that she said is exactly what we're doing as a overall organization in terms of Pan-Africanism, the African diaspora as a whole. So basically, because we're both working on the Roots Festival, like she said, you know, people can contact me for specific things about the Roots Festival package. I'm actually doing more or less a couple of things with a few artists from here in Philadelphia to take over to the Gambian Roots Festival. So I have a few connections with airlines that I'm working out to take about, you know, four or five people over there. But just overall package, you know, of course you can hit me up. But basically I was saying that what she said as a specific thing in terms of a festival is what we're doing as an overall organization and company. That's why we're actually trying to train our own tour guides and our own travel agents. So, like, the different components of linking up with associations and cultural organizations and host travel agencies to be able to bring all this stuff together is the reason why we need to have all these people in place in order for us to launch these different things in different parts of the world. You know, especially one of my main goals is actually to set up different tribal cup chapters. Like Chinaza had talked about in terms of the host company opening up in Uganda is definitely something that I want to be able to do. And also when we go over to the Gambia, I want to be able to set up a tribal club chapter in the Gambia that is ran through the or in collaboration with the Minister of Tourism and, of course, Sister Olimata, who is a part of the Gambian PR PR team. So, and definitely big shout-out to one of my favorite people in the world right now, the Minister of Tourism, Minister Fatou Mas. You know, people are on my Facebook page or on my Maya International Travel Network page. There's a picture of us two that we together, in which case, you know, we took a picture of us together during the reception for the Gambian Roots Festival. So, yeah, definitely all the things that Sister Olimata touched on is what we're doing as an overall collective as an organization. And, you know, she basically just touched on one festival. You know, just imagine those type of connections and those type of resources we can use and that we and what we can develop into tourism products for everybody that's of, you know, of our people in terms of preserving our heritage and preserving our culture. So, I mean, that's, mm-hmm. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay. Great. Sounds amazing. I'd really love to be able to give you guys more time to talk about that in the future. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for being a part of the program. Peace.
Peace.
All right. All right, we have a caller, our last caller from the 617 area code. You're live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Hi, this is David Coleman.
Peace, David. What's poppin'?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, peace. Yeah, so I got a chance to listen to, some of the show, and, you know, I'm just going to be very brief because I know, time is very short right now. But I really enjoyed listening to the show in terms of, the fact that there are options out there in terms of, like, traveling agencies, especially black-owned traveling agencies. Because in the past, I was briefly kind of looking, doing a brief research on traveling agencies because, you know, I had the chance to, you know, take opportunities in terms of, like, traveling overseas. And it was interesting to hear, Derek, that you were part of People to People Student Org, because that's how I got, a taste for, that's how I got the travel bug, because I was part of, People to People back in 2005. So this is, like, when I went to China and Hong Kong, so that was, like, my first trip abroad. And ever since then, when the opportunity presented itself, I just, took it when it came to traveling. So I was able to, shortly afterward through high school, I went to Greece, and then I went to Ghana and Africa for the first time. And then my last trip was to Chile. And, you know, I'm pretty much, as of right now, I'm interested in doing whatever I can possibly to bridge the gap between people from Africa and the African diaspora, especially in terms of, like, business and, you know, just in terms of, like, creating opportunities, across the Atlantic, especially since the last caller was emphasizing the need to interconnect with Africans from, in Africa, but as well as other parts of the diaspora, even in places where we wouldn't think that, Africans would exist. Like places in Asia and Europe and other areas. So I feel like I feel like it's very, very important, especially in terms of, like, continuing on that legacy that Marcus Garvey planted in terms of Pan-Africanism, building connection back at home, especially since there are already a lot of Africans here in America, like Ghanaians, Nigerians, Ethiopians, so on and so forth. And so I just feel like this is the best opportunity now to make those immediate connections. And I'm in the process of trying to connect with a couple of professors, one who's from Ghana, in terms of, like, possibly working for the U.S. Embassy in Ghana. So, but I'm also, I'm sorry.
I just said amazing.
Mhm. Yeah. So, you know, my ears open in terms of, like, you know, being a part of taking opportunities in terms of, like, traveling agencies and, you know, just, you know, opening opportunities, you know, especially for those, you know, our people that never really had the opportunity to travel overseas or to travel back at home, you know, because it's really needed.
Well, why don't you give out the information that people need to in order to start the process, Derek, and get in contact with you and all of that great stuff?
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. You want me to do it now or you want me to do it?
Yep, right now.
Yes,
go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, for people that want to get in contact with me, I'm not on a computer right now, so people can just write it down, or I can, you know, people send me a message on Facebook. You can look me up on Facebook, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, Diaspora Diplomat, Rouse, R-O-U-S-E, and my Facebook fan page is Mayat, M-A-A-T, International Travel Network. My best email to contact me is D International, you know, the letter D, International, Rouse, R-O-U-S-E, at gmail.com. And my current website, which is my travel booking website, is vacation.com/dinternational. So that has, like, that's all the travel information, and also you can contact me there in terms of my number and my email. I'm still developing my main website because it's basically I'm writing my own content and also collecting a lot of different information from the different ministers of tourism and also the different things I'm doing with my tours. So it's like it's pretty much almost about 90% of my own content that I'm writing. So but for right now, people can just contact me through Facebook, through my email, and through my website. And, of course, you know, Tay has all my information as well.
Yep. And I posted his fan page as well on facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. So if you go over there, you'll be able to find out all this information, and we'll make sure that everybody is kept in contact. So I hope that was helpful, David. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for tuning in.
You're welcome.
All right,
yeah,
peace.
Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's my homie. All right. So I just want to wrap things up and get kind of solidified. So what are some of your upcoming events, projects, partnerships, festivals, all that good stuff? What's going on with you?
Well, to mention all of them would take another show, but so I'll just try to keep it as simple, like
get the
a
ones
minute
you
or two.
Get the ones you need.
Yeah.
There you go.
a major upcoming project is actually, it's something that me and you had discussed when you were here visiting Philadelphia, and I showed you around in terms of like the different African American heritage sites. I was actually able to, when you were here last year, I was able to finally connect with SEFTA, which is the Philly Mass Transit. You know, in New York is Metro. I mean, in DC is the Metro, and you know, in New York they have their system. I was finally able to connect with them in terms of doing an African-American tourism heritage project. The dates haven't been solidified because it actually was supposed to launch this month, but, you know, because of the bad weather here and, you know, canceling the meetings, I had to push it back. So I'm not going to give out any dates in terms of when that project is going to come out, but it should be probably solidified by the end of February going into either March or April. Which is basically people will be able to come into Philadelphia, to be able to ride the actual public transit in terms of having a customized tour dealing with African-American heritage and culture. For people that know, Philadelphia is one of the largest outdoor galleries in the world through our Mural Arts program. So people will be able to see the huge African-American influences that they've had on the city in terms of the different heritage sites like the Paul Robeson House, or Marian Anderson House, and also the Philadelphia Museum of Art, which is actually designed by a black man by the name of Julian Abel. So that's one of the major projects we have in terms of tours. Of course, we have the Gambian Roots Festival that's coming up May 9th through the 17th. We're going to start booking tours for the Dakar Arts Festival, which is, I believe it's June 31st through June 9th. We have a few Moorish Heritage tours we're going to also be booking through. I tried to get Baba Kaba to call in, you know, since you mentioned his event. He was a little busy, but he's actually trying to, him and Dr. Renouk Rashidi are doing a tour, Moorish Heritage tour through Spain and Morocco this year. So we're going to be promoting that, which I believe is June, offhand I can't remember, but I believe it's June 7th through June 17th. So in terms of tours, we're going to do a lot of stuff like that. And, of course, we have our own, individual tours in terms of bus tours we're going to be doing here in Philadelphia and New York and D.C., going down to different conferences and stuff like that. So all that will be updated on our website. And one of our major events is going to come up at the end of February and also in March, which will also be on our Facebook page when I get the final okay for the dates. Will be our actual official reception for my international travel club. So people from, like, New York, you'll be able to go to the Mikada, the Museum of Contemporary African Diaspora Arts. That'll be sometime in March. I'm aiming for March 8th, but, of course, all that will be updated on the website. We'll be able to have a little tour of reception in terms of people who've been to different places, be able to share their stories, and also me doing an official presentation on my international here in Philadelphia. We're aiming for sometime at the end of February or the beginning of March, so it'll probably be like a Thursday or so. Again, that will be on our Facebook page. That will be at Dalak's Paradise, which is a Ethiopian and Eritrean restaurant on 47th and Baltimore in Philadelphia. One of our major, actually our major partnerships, a couple of partnerships that we're looking for is really just aiming to get solidified partnerships with a lot of people that's in the industry. So one of them, for example, is Ethiopian Airlines. So people that come through our travel organization will be able to get discounts to go straight through to Ethiopia, through Ethiopian Airlines, through our travel organization. Another one is Eric Airlines, which is a Nigerian-based airline company. Based out of Lagos, but also stationed here in Philadelphia and New York. A couple other ones are the Africa Travel Association, which I said I was a student student delegate of. We're going to look to solidifying the Philadelphia chapter here. So you're going to have start seeing a lot of events in Philadelphia as well as New York in terms of being able to bring the African ministers over here to speak on tourism. And also the Caribbean Tourism Organization. So there's just a lot of different partnerships that we will be solidifying throughout the year to help, you know, make travel affordable, to get that type of a lot of the conscious information out there about these type of places. You know, not just dealing with the actual travel industry, but dealing with the heritage tourism. You know, dealing with like our Arawak ancestors in the Caribbean, dealing with our Olmec and Mayan ancestors in Mexico. All that type of information in Brazil and Colombia, you know, all throughout Africa and Southeast Asia all throughout the Pan-African diaspora. So, this is the relaunching of everything I'm doing. And you can see why I'm relaunching everything, because it's just a lot, you know. But it's grafted over a 2-year period in terms of launching things in different phases. So, definitely like us on Facebook. Definitely request me. Send me your information. Hopefully you left a comment in the blog talk so we can get in contact with you. We're going to be launching our Facebook group and also our Twitter page within the next couple of days. So definitely just look out for that. And like I said, for people that are interested in becoming travel agents, you can go on our Paycations website /dinternational. Wherever you are in the world, you can join. This is a global opportunity. You know, and we're going to be picking from people that do join our program to be actual ambassadors of our organization and people who specialize in what they want to specialize in. So I know you're of Cape Verdean heritage, Tay. So, you know, people like you that once you specialize in traveling to Cape Verde and promoting that type of heritage, you know, we definitely want to link up with people like you and bring them all under one fold in terms of our organization and be able to promote the diaspora from the positive light that it deserves.
All right. Definitely, definitely. Thank you for spending so much time with us today and bringing in so many lovely listeners who had so much input, and definitely for sharing the opportunity and educating us about educational tourism and cultural tourism yet again. So thank you for being on, and make sure everybody does like him on Facebook. We did post his Facebook fan page through Conversations with the Queen on Facebook, so that's facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. You can catch up with it there as well as in the event. We posted the link there as well. So thank you again, Derek, for calling in, and I'm going to bid everybody a good night. Anything last, like last words, last shout outs, anything like really quickly you want to get off your chest?
Well, I just appreciate the opportunity for being able to speak with you again. You know, it's always a great conversation and great dialogue we always have on these shows, and just your shows in general. You know, I love your show, and I love what you're doing. So.
Oh, thank you. I work hard. All right.
we all do, so it's all about those fruits.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in, and I'm going to say peace. All right?
Peace.
All right, so tune in next week on Conversations with the Queen. We will be having your Sierra Hotep of yogaskills.com. For our show on Kemetic Yoga for total self-mastery. All right? And again, that's next week, Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's the 17th. And you will be able to tune in and hear all about it. All right, so I'm going to take it out with some Jesse Boykins' How Deep Is Your Love cover. All right?
And me, it helps me see what's right. All my life now, you've given me a chance to see your light. All the feelings I have for you, let it come on through. When I cry, you heal my pain. Sun is shining right on my face. This is the place to find. When it's dark, it is our fuel. It's just me and you, yeah. Give me what I need to live. Help me come. Right next to me, the mountains we will climb.